Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, let's face it, we all have stress in our lives. However, it's not how much stress that we have that really affects us. It's how we deal with the stress we have. So what a great topic for today. Here's some facts about stress I want to start with right before I get into the show. The word stress means different things to different people. Stress affects us all the same, literally from a biochemical standpoint, just in different magnitudes. Stress is a combination factor of a wide variety of health problems, and I always find that the chronic stress as a medical intuitive is always the common denominator in all illness. While stress really does affect all of the body, it affects the immune system the most, and that's why we have so many, I believe, autoimmune disorders that are happening out at this time. One of the things that I've certainly learned in my own self and then watching and observing others and doing readings is stress and moods go hand in hand. The less stress, the better the mood. I can attest to that one. And the greater the stress, the worse the mood. I can attest to that one also. And what I found is in my work with working with personality is that we're all type A's. We all have a predisposition to stress. But what stresses one person and doesn't stress another, and the magnitude that stress affects one person and not the other, boils down specifically to personality and what triggers the stress in each personality and how they respond and react to it. So it couldn't be a more timely topic with the holidays upon us right now. So today is certainly about stress. What's personality got to do with it? And I am going to be talking about it throughout the entire show. I am going to be taking your calls as well, so I'm really looking forward to talking to you. If you have a question for me, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062 or 425-644-5620. The questions can be about stress. It can be about health. It can be about anything except, you know, what are you going to be when you grow up? Have not figured that out myself, but I am looking forward to sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. Well, one of the things that I've done is I have multiple books on personality, and if you don't know your personality color, there's a quick way to be able to go in and get a sense of what your color might be. So I encourage you to go to my new website, www.whatcolorisyourpersonality.com. That is where I have all of my personality-based books, all of my personality-based topics that I'm going to be featuring. We're going to be launching a brand new interactive health and wellness website early spring that is called Your Personality, Your Health. It's going to be really interactive. So that site, whatcolorsyourpersonality.com, is all about personality. On that particular site, there's an actual brief assessment. I call it a little mini assessment that you can go in and you just basically read the statements. You choose the statements that best describe you or that you feel describes you. And then, voila, you will become a personality color. And that personality color, I'd always do it by color, as the colors are red, orange, yellow, and green. And the reason I chose those colors is how the behavior neurologically around those personality colors align with the colors and the psychology of color and how it affects our moods and our health and then also our behavior. And then I overlaid it with the four lower chakras, which are all of the parts of the body that basically are impacted by the stress that happens in the body. If you'd like to learn more about your personality and you really would like to take the long form of the assessment, all of my personality books, Your Personality, Your Health, What Colors Your Personality, Love, What's Personality Got to Do With It, and Managing People, What's Personality Got to Do With It. All of these books have a full personality assessment, 60 statements. You're asked to read the statement. If you feel like it describes you or you think it does, you circle a letter to the left of it. Very, very simple, self-scoring. And then you really can have an impact, a full picture and an impact of what your personality is. And the reason that the long assessment has the accuracy it does, it literally talks to your brain and it says to your brain, so identify yourself. How do you gather information and how do you make decisions? If we make decisions contrary to our personality neurology, that hardwiring of us, we experience stress. It's that simple. If you make decisions based on emotion and you try to make them on logic, the minute you make that decision, all of a sudden you're going to think, oh, that's not right. You want to do a take back, as I call it, and you've already started a chemical change in your body that results in stress. On the other hand, if you make decisions based on logic and somebody says to you, well, how do you feel about this? It's like in our brain, it does not compute, and that immediately puts us in stress because we're not sure how to answer the question. So lots of information, a lot of fun by discovering your personality color, even more fun to discover the personality colors of the people in your life. So if you would like to take the short version, www.whatcolorsyourpersonality.com, or you can purchase any of my books. They're available through, of course, Amazon.com and HayHouse.com. So it's just a good way for us to get to know ourselves at a deeper level. Well, stress really is a normal adaptive response to experiences. I mean, we all have a degree of stress to every single thing that we experience. And depending on how we view those experiences and how it goes either in alignment with our personality color or in contradiction of it, we get varying stress responses. And they basically can either be a positive response or a negative response. Now, I need to tell you that positive stress still creates the same chemical reaction and biological reaction and physiological reaction in the body. So it really doesn't make any difference as to whether it's a positive or a negative stress. We're going to have that chemical chain reaction. The only difference is that if the stress is negative, meaning we view it negative, it's contradictory to our personality and our decision-making, then what occurs is we create an avalanche of a chain reaction chemically in the body, and we don't get those cancel points. We don't get those endorphins, neuropeptides. The neurotransmitters don't become stimulated, and as a result, we stay in that state of adrenaline for a longer period of time. How that feels? It's anxiety. But what happens if we have positive stress? Well, we still, again, have the same reaction. However, because we experience it as being in alignment with who we are and how we make decisions, it really feels great. So our mind and our body immediately starts those cancel points, and all of a sudden the stress we had that started out chemically like an anxiety turns into an excitement. So that's an easy way for you to know, is it positive stress or negative stress? Is it causing anxiety or is it causing excitement? And I can say another way, if it creates a frown on your face, it's negative. If it creates a smile on your face, it's positive. So many ways to be able to start to read your own personality. In my studies about the psychological implications around stress and personality, I literally found that what motivates one person can be a tremendous stressor to another. And I think that's why we need to be sensitive so we don't come up to the conclusion, even though we're all type A's, we don't come to the conclusion that stress is a one-size-fits-all, and that it's going to actually cause our body to respond exactly the same way, meaning how long we're going to carry that stress. The circumstances that cause stress are called stressors, and these stressors can, again, vary in the severity, but most important, the duration. Interesting in my research with personality around stress is that it really isn't that we get stressed. It's how long that stress mentally and physically stays in the body. And is that stressor that creates the stress chronic, meaning is it a repetitive pattern of thinking or behavior that keeps you in that place like you feel like a cat on a hot tin roof all of the time, where your body is really just coming in and just always pumping that adrenaline, that corticosteroid, and then, of course, cortisol. What we found in studying stress is, of course, catastrophic events such as the loss of a loved one or an accident or anything can create stress that will stay prolonged. But the body even knows that kind of stress and will be able to work with it to minimize the impact. The information that I found is a medical intuitive. It's those everyday hassles that just seem to eat at us. And then what occurs is that the longer we stay in that mode, the more difficult it is for the body to get out of that wear and tear, the more difficult it is for it to recuperate. And then ultimately, it's what weakens the immune system. And that immune system for a long period of time being weakened can lead to autoimmune disorders or even increase our frequency of dealing with colds or flu or So it's very important. We get our rest. We manage our stress. We look at the patterns in our life that really are the continual, perpetual stressors in our life. And I always say to someone, if you try to tackle all of them one time, you create even more monumental stress. But what you can do is take one thing in your life right now that's creating stress and then come in and look at it and say, what can I do? What to change that? What action plan can I do to be able to make this stress in my life minimized or ultimately go away? So I want to go in real quick, and then I notice that my board is lighting up with calls. I'm very excited to be able to come in and be able to answer your questions. But let's just go in real quick about color. It'll be a good tease. If you don't know your color, you might be interested. I'm going to begin with the red personality. By nature, this personality needs to be in control. Control of their environment, control of people, and most important, in control of their time. Anytime their time gets wasted, whether it's by, you know, when it's wasted by someone else or they're having to wait maybe in a doctor's office or something, they experience a tremendous amount of stress. In situations that take away their control, the first reaction for the red is to become angry. And then if it continues to build up chemically in the body, they'll become forceful and aggressive. And they believe that taking this aggressive posture is going to intimidate people into getting backing off and into getting them what they need, meaning what the red needs, so they're not having their time wasted. So the red can be quick on the temper. The aggressiveness is to tell you, you are wasting my time, and I want you to stop the process. The orange personality, on the other hand, these are very social personalities. They like cooperative, conflict-free environments. They like everybody to be a cooperative and a team working with the same objective in mind. But when they become stressed, they become very submissive and accommodating because they don't want to create any more conflict and they don't want to experience any more emotional discomfort. What they'll do is they'll reach out to others to console them emotionally and try to make them feel safe and secure. And that's really how stress manifests in the oranges. They become very insecure, and I hear a lot of personalities, and especially the reds, will say they get clingy. Well, they really aren't clingy. They just need to know, is this okay? Are we okay? And then as a result, they'll need to have that kind of feedback. The yellow personality is going to immediately jump into any stressful situation, assume that it's a problem. They're going to go into that problem-solving mode. They're going to immediately challenge everybody else's thinking. They're going to assume kind of an intellectual superiority over others. And what they're doing is they're really saying, I don't have enough information. You're asking me to respond or react too quickly. I need to think about it. And then what they'll do is they can become very sharp, very curt. And I've had a lot of people say very cutting from the standpoint that they could be engaged in a conversation, have it go stressful, and then all of a sudden shut down and then become very condescending and very curt. And that just can lead to stress, of course, in other personalities as well as the yellow themselves. The green personality is going to display emotional outbursts. And one of the things I always say about the green personality, you know when they're stressed and you know when they're stressed to the max, because all of a sudden this four-letter word comes out of their mouth and it isn't love. And what it does is it says to every, back off. I'm emotionally overloaded. I need you to get away from me. And then what they'll do is that will give them the time to breathe. First of all, greens always stop breathing when they're stressed. Give them the chance to slow their body down, change the chemistry, breathe, and then what they'll do is then they'll be able to come back out of that stressful situation. When they do get emotionally stressed, what happens is that they will come in and literally become, they'll lose objectivity, as I call it. They'll display a passive-aggressive behavior 1 minute and then be timid and the next minute. So again, the green is a very consistent personality, except when they get stressed. And then it's almost like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde from the behavioral standpoint. That's your cue that they are stressed and that you need to just back away and not put fuel on the fire and keep them emotionally at kind of odds with themselves. And that's what it is. Maybe you're asking them to do something that doesn't make sense or doesn't feel right to them. And in that particular case, then what they're going to do is they're going to dig their heels in. They're going to let you know, back off, and go from there. So you can see that all four of the personality colors all experience stress, But even in their behavior, the way they work with it, it all just comes out differently. And I think that's so important for us to know about ourselves. So I'm going to continue this conversation about personality and stress connection and talk a little bit more about how to be able to read some of the signs and some things that we can do to manage stress. But I want to jump in right now and let's share some calls and everything. So I would like to start with Kate from Washington. Hi, Kate. How are you today?
Hi, Carol. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure, sweetie. How can I help you? Have we talked before, honey?
We have. I talked to you a couple months ago.
Okay, good. Your energy feels familiar, so thank you.
Good, good. Thanks for having me again.
Yes, my pleasure.
I wanted to check in with you. You had given me a lot of really good information. You had mentioned autoimmune disorder.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a naturopath, had blood tested, and came up with some pretty significant food allergies.
Okay.
The big ones, wheat, gluten, dairy, almonds, green pepper. I also went to see a Hakomi therapist to help me sort of deal with, I have achy glands. And so I thought it might be good to approach it from the emotional standpoint. So I've been seeing her. I also took your advice and started paying attention to my pH level, which is, that's pretty interesting. I would highly recommend anybody do that. I got a little pH testing kit, and it's just amazing how one little pop of something inappropriate in your mouth will completely change the chemistry
Isn't
of your
that,
body.
Thank you, Kate. That is so true. And then when we add those emotions and those thoughts, it's like, no wonder we're always so acidic, huh, sweetie?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a cup of coffee can completely, like, throw your day off for the morning.
Well, you know, and in my world, too, sweetie, a cup of coffee, a good full-leaded cup of joe,
yeah,
literally takes 48 hours for the body to cleanse the caffeine out of the kidneys so it isn't affecting it. So, okay, good. So how else, sweetie? What else have you learned?
Well, right now I'm just not feeling better.
Okay.
I still have the aches, and I'm wondering, you know, it's creating a lot of stress in my life, and I'm an artist, and I just feel like I'm ready to take the next leap into my artistic endeavor. But because I'm so stressed about this health concern, I feel like I'm blocking a lot of stuff out, and I don't know if I'm approaching, I feel like I need the answer. And
okay.
I don't know if I can't see the forest for the trees or if I'm taking on too many things at once to figure out what's going on.
Wow. You and I share a lot in common, hon. Okay. So let's go in with that. So the food allergies, part of the frustration, I do, it's not my place to agree or disagree, but you asked me to give you feedback.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Do
I'll
agree.
Take whatever you...
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. I do agree with the food allergies. However, I am going to say something to you, is what I would do is I would take all those to heart. They are true. They have caused a lot of the chronic inflammation that you have in your body, hon, that can weaken the immune system. And really, when we have a chronic inflammation, whether it's food allergies or an infection of any kind, meaning that it stays in the body, such as Epstein-Barr, it does weaken the immune system. The one thing that out of all the things you listed, honey, that really just kind of gave me that gut twinge that I get every so often when I talk to someone is I would really watch your nightshades. That's your green peppers. Of course, it's eggplant. It's your potatoes. What you will want to do is look for things that you can eat that isn't of the nightshade family. I think all of the things that you're doing is working. But for some reason, I still get a hit out of all those things. That's the thing right now to really stay away from, to help your body get back into some kind of balance. As you were talking about some of the other things that you've been doing, gold stars to you. But I think that you have a wonderful opportunity, Kate, in front of you. I think you have the opportunity to be able to go in and use your art as a healing process and as a therapy.
Yeah.
And whether it's just a few minutes a day, I told a story. I can't, you know, after a while it gets kind of fuzzy where I told it. But I had a woman who was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and decided that she did not want to transition. She was 93 years old at the time. And her name was Bobby. I can actually use her name. And Bobby started doing mandalas.
Mm-hmm.
And what she did is she literally colored in the mandalas, painted what the problem was in her body so she could get a clear picture. And then she took one of those mandalas of what was in her body that she felt that she could really gain control over. And every day she did a healing mandala to show how it felt it changing inside of her. And interesting enough, in a very short period of time, I think we were less than a month, her cancer actually went into remission. That's what she wanted to work on. She had a lot of other health issues. But I think because of the artist that you are, I think you have a wonderful way, hon, in this process, because you are a teacher. If I didn't tell you that before, it was my, I kind of oversight to not do that. But I think that you could use an art therapy type situation to not only be able to see yourself, look at what acidity looks like in your body, look at what alkaline would look like in your body, and then create this visual metaphor. And then what I would do, very honestly, while we know that there's emotional things there, until we get this body back where it needs to, Kate, it's not going to, your mind's not going to let go of it, honey.
Yeah, so I know. It's running, it's running crazy right now.
Well, and it is, and especially because you've got all these things that appear to be different, but I'm going to tell you, they're all connected. And right now, they're connected really to your immune system. Everything that you've mentioned to me is your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go in and say that you were to, even if it was a mandala, not a mandala, you were to do, what would your immune system look like when it was acidic? And then what would your immune system look like if it were healthy and alkaline? And what can you do every day to do that? And let your art become a therapy process. I truly believe, sweetie, in the future of healing, we're going to be using art therapy. We're going to be using craniosacral. Homeopathy is going to be coming back in a great resurgence. And I do believe we're going to use music therapy. And I think you have two opportunities in what you're working with, Kate.
I'm creating art 10 to 12 hours a day right now.
Yeah, but you know what, sweetie? I don't pick up that it's for you.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
Yes, I don't pick up that what you're creating is for you. I think you create beautiful things. I can hear that in your vibration. But it feels to me like you're creating it because it needs to be created, or you're creating it because someone else needs you to create it. Go ahead.
Well, they do. I am a commercial artist, and I sell my artwork, and I license. So there definitely is the need to create it for somebody else, but I love to do it. I mean, forced to do it. There is an additional stress upon that to get the work out. But it's, I am definitely, and that's a little bit where the frustration lies, is that I am living the life that I have always dreamed of. And I feel great. I have great energy level. I sleep really well. I'm not getting the sinus infections that I used to be getting, especially this time of year. So it's confusing to me.
Well, yes, and I can understand. So let's just say that what you're experiencing is a long time in the past that has been bubbling there, kind of like a pot boiling on the stove.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing now is you're turning the fire down. I'm going to give you metaphors. You're turning the fire down, and what you've got to do is your body is going to have to find a way to right itself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been doing this for a long time, it may take, not a long time, but it may take a little time for you to find the right combination.
Yeah.
But again, with the painting, I can hear it in your voice. I'm sure all the listeners can hear that this is what you love, and this is what you're good at, and this does bring you joy. All I'm just saying to you is, if you and I were sitting together, sweetie, I would pull out two blank pieces of paper and a big box of 120 Crayola crayons, and I would sit down with you and I'd say, so, Kate, I want you to color your body healthy, honey. And we would do aura drawing. We would do aura drawing. And I would like you to color your body healthy. And then what I could do is you could look at that and you could say, oh, okay, so you put a lot of teal in there. Teal is the healing color. Pay attention to the colors that you're using in your artwork and see if there's a pattern there in the colors. Those are healing colors. Those are healing colors. All I'm just saying is, what if we just played? What if you and I just sat down and we just played and we just colored or painted for just the pure joy of painting? And then did something that didn't have those expectations attached to it, and literally just little pieces. And it's really psychologically, it is a very healing process to be able to do that. So why don't you try that? I think you are on the right track. The only thing I picked up of all the things that you mentioned were the nightshades. The peppers just kind of set that little gut twinge off to me. Watch those things. Stay with what you're doing. I really, you know, the pH is a big key to this. I really think that you're on the road to recovery. I just want you to play, sweetie.
You know, I do too, and I had a really interesting conversation with my massage therapist. And I was in worse shape in May of this year, and he said, you know, you've put so much work into, you know, building a better body that you're just going through growing pains. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he just says when you take a little step towards better health, sometimes you have to feel a little bit worse before you feel better. But it's just a building process, and it doesn't mean disease. It just can mean you're growing into a new body.
Well, and I agree 110%. And again, like I said, so much of what happens in our body that we experience, you know, later on, really, in my world as a medical intuitive, really started between birth and 13. We mm-hmm. have a lot of patterns and emotional imprints then that may not surface until, you know, we get an age where we have maybe a hormonal change or something. So he is so right. It feels like a he. Is it a he?
I'm sorry?
Is it a he, your massage therapist?
Yeah.
I would listen to that, and I would just keep taking your baby steps. But the one thing is I can pick up about you, and again, sweetie, you and I share a lot of similarities, and that is anytime we do anything, we expect it to be perfect. But second of all, anything we do that has any inkling of play, you and I both see it as work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, and I thank you and bless you for calling me, because as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking, hello, Carol, put a mirror up here. Are you hearing what you're saying? But I know even with my beading and my sewing and stuff, I absolutely love every time I go to do it, I immediately think, you know, I could turn this into a business. And it's like, come on, knock it off, Carol.
Oh,
I want to say the same thing to you, sweetie. Maybe
okay.
It's time that you and I just sit down and, you know, I kid all the time, I just need to fondle my beads and pay a couple things and then go do something else, and maybe you do too. But yeah. You really are on the right track. Thanks,
okay,
Kate. Do keep me posted, hon. I really appreciate it, and I hope you call back and keep me updated on everything as well.
Yeah, I'll check back in several months, so
okay.
Let you know. Okay, thanks
so much.
Well, that
sounds really good. Oh, my pleasure. Well, let's go ahead. All of you, please stay on the line. I'm going to jump in and continue to take your calls right after I get back, so stay tuned. And then I'm going to talk more about personality and stress and the connection between the two and your health. Thanks for joining me.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Well, thanks again for joining me today. What I'm going to do in this part of the show, in this last segment, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that personality stress and that health connection. Very, very important. As I mentioned on the first half of the show, we really looked at what personality does by the four colors, how they experience it, how they express it, how they try to control it. And then I want to do a little bit more on that this last part of the show. And I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about stress or about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062 or 425-644-5620. Before I go into the segment on stress and so forth, I'd like to invite you to join me on my Your Health teleclass. It's going to be held on December 17th at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 8 o'clock p.m. at Eastern Time. The topic for this class is influenza, and I'm going to be looking at influenza, the strain that we're all familiar with, the seasonal influenza, and then also I'm going to be taking on swine flu and avian flu. I'm going to be looking at it from a physical standpoint, some of the hidden meanings behind them, and then also a metaphysical perspective around the H1N1 and the avian flu. Very, very interesting show. The teleclass is going to be very interesting because a lot of the information that I'm going to be sharing from a metaphysical standpoint is how does it look in the aura itself, how does it map in the chakras, each one of the different influences, because interestingly enough, while they all involve the immune system being weakened, they aren't all caused by a weakened immune system. So, again, should be a very interesting show. The teleclass is 60 minutes in length, and at the end of the class, I take calls, usually for about 20 minutes, and answer as many of the questions as I can, similar to what I'm doing on my show today around health and where people can ask me different questions. So the class itself is December 17th at 5 o'clock Pacific time. That's 5 o'clock p.m. and 8 o'clock Eastern time. You can register online at www.ritberger.com. And the registration cost includes actually an audio download for the teleclass as well as a printable PDF write-up for future reference. I'm actually creating quite an interesting file as far as all the different illnesses and how I see them as a medical intuitive. So I hope that you will join me on December 17th. You can register at www.ritberger.com. So let's go in and look at some of the behavioral patterns when each color stress. I touched on it a little bit, but I really want to go in and define the behavioral patterns themselves. The red personality becomes impatient, abrupt, and even argumentative. They have difficulty relaxing and getting a good night's sleep. They have explosive tempers. One of the things I find with reds in particular, when they're stressed, their sleep just basically becomes very shortened, both in their cycles and the duration itself. The orange personality becomes emotionally volatile. They worry a lot. They become anxious. Many times they'll actually turn to food or sweets to console themselves. The yellow personality becomes indecisive and mentally immobilized, condescending, and they even can become antisocial. And the green personality stops talking. That's the first indicator. Not only do they stop breathing, but they stop talking and they go into an avoid behavior and they become emotionally temperamental. And then, unlike greens, who are not the blaming personalities, they will actually start to blame other people for things that happen to them. So again, it isn't how much stress we have in our life, but it's how we allow stress to be able to impact our body, but more importantly, how long we actually carry the stress in the body. And what we do is the longer we carry it, then the more impact it has on the physical body. So I want to jump right in now, and let's go to Ellie, and then I'm going to close the show out with a couple of ideas of what you can do to help manage stress instantaneously. Hi, let's go to Ellie. Ellie from New Hampshire, thanks for calling me again, hon. How are you today?
I'm fine, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm very good. I appreciate your patience because I didn't get on and you're back.
So I know.
This is great. So what can I do? How can I help you?
Well, the question I have for you right now, Carol, is I've been suffering or been going through a lot of joint pain. I had actually met you back in April of 2008 and we had talked about this briefly.
Oh, okay. You were there when I was back east.
Yes, in Vermont. Exactly.
Okay.
And when we had talked, I had mentioned to you that I was going to go and have some blood tests taken for rheumatoid arthritis because of the amount of inflammation that I was going through. When I went at that time, the information that I got back was that my rheumatoid factor was indeed slightly elevated, but that the CCPs were negative and the inflammatory markers, the ESR and the CRPs, were all normal.
Okay.
So it was no indication whether I'm, you know, moving towards rheumatoid arthritis or not. But to make this very short, for the rest of the year, I've been watching my joints start to swell and then go away. So I just started doing a little bit more research and decided to go on a wheat-free, gluten-free, the whole dairy-free sort of thing to see if this would help. It did help for a little bit, but I haven't really incorporated a lot of these things back into my diet as yet, and I've been doing this since August. I'm still having stiffness. I'm still having joint problems, and I really don't know what direction to go at this point.
Yeah, I would stay with your diet changes because I can pick up energetically that they are working for you, and the main reason is that a lot of the things that you're cutting out of your body are acidic in nature, and mm-hmm. that's one of the things that can really trigger the inflammation itself. So let's see. There were a couple things that I got. One that I did pick up is weather changes, which sounds kind of strange, except I think you're one of these human barometers that basically can pick up weather changes that has some inflammation, arthritic energy around it. I didn't pick that up before, by the way, sweetie, when we had talked, but I am picking it up now. And then something else that Ellie, were you bit by a tick on?
No, I wasn't, that I'm aware of anyway.
Yeah. Well, and the reason that I literally asked the question that way, because some of the things that you have has some Lyme disease tendencies, but I had to ask the question because I didn't pick up that you did, but you do have some of those tendencies within you. So let me see. I'm going to take a deep breath, and let me go in and see where I want to go with this. Okay, the first thing that I pick up, diet changes, watch your sugar.
Okay.
The more sugar you have, what I mean by that is the more sugar you have, meaning the longer days in which you have sugar consistently, I can pick up a fatigue in your body, and I can pick up a soreness in the muscles themselves. There's a direct connection between not sugar once in a while, but sugar on a continual basis, and I can pick that up in the joints themselves as well.
Okay.
The second thing I picked up is that I want you to consider working with someone, a naturopath or homeopathy. Homeopathy feels like really connected with you, honey. I'd like them to go in and work with your liver. And
okay.
One of the reasons that I'm saying that is I don't have a major problem, let me first of all, because I just saw your energy go, what's that mean, Carol? It's like, whoa, bring that back down real quick.
Yeah,
here.
Really?
This right burger there. But one of the things that when I go into the liver itself, that detoxification part, that kind of waste management part of your liver doesn't feel like it's cleansing the way that it needs to. And one of the things is look at greens and reds in your fruits and vegetables. If you have a homeopath, I think we may have even talked about that. If you have a homeopath, go in and ask them if there's some things that you can take that can help your liver with the detoxification.
Okay.
And the reason I have you do that versus doing a liver cleanse is because it feels like you're doing, your body's responding to what you're doing. And I'm concerned that a liver cleanse might just kind of like hit it with a rubber mallet. And I think we just need to treat it just a little bit to get it back into some kind of balance. For some reason, flower essence comes up that could be of value to you as well. It feels like where we are, honey, it feels like we're dealing with the physical, and now we're down to that kind of energetic part of it that's tied to the physical. And that's why the homeopathic remedies might help. Working with the liver and changing the diet a little bit in that direction might help. And then also going in and just, here's how you feel, sweetie, when I look at you. Because you just open up. I love that. So if I were to look at you, if you were to take right above your liver, right underneath your lowest rib,
right,
and you were to draw a line across your tummy area there, right underneath the breastbone, the sternum, from the liver to the immune system, and see that as a continuum. See that as a line. The liver's point A, the immune system's point B.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do is you want to keep that line, that continuum, you want to keep that somewhere in the middle. And you can visualize that because that will keep you balanced in your acid, your pH, which would be very, very good, acid alkaline. That would be helpful. The green and the reds will do that.
Okay.
Then the other dietary changes put you there. I can feel you go into that space. But just think of your liver and your immune system as being one long line.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever your liver gets a little bit clogged up, meaning it's not working optimally, because whatever you're eating or ingesting or feeling is causing it to become kind of bogged down, you just want to come in and just kind of like a sliding scale in the doctor's office, you just want to see that slide over toward the B.
Yeah.
Area and see if we can do that.
Okay.
But this human barometer part is very interesting. I didn't pick that up in you before. So you have another gift to add to your repertoire, sweetie.
Yay.
Yay.
I'm a barometer.
I don't know. Do we put this on a resume or what do we do?
Listen, I can use it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So just kind of look at it that way. And what you want to do is keep that liver happy, healthy, honey. And then that'll keep that immune system, keeping the inflammation down. That would be happy, healthy also. When you talk to a homeopath, ask them about Syndrome X or metabolic syndrome as well and see if that's why you're doing the diet changes, to see if something that you're still eating or that you have been eating for a long time has created this kind of metabolic inconsistency in you. That may be part of it as well. But
cool.
I think you're on the right path.
Great. Thank you, Carol. I appreciate this.
You are so welcome. Thank you very much. Interesting. Great calls today. I want to go in. I want to at least leave some more information. Then if I have a chance, I'll try to take my last call that I've got sitting on my board. So let me do this rather quickly. One of the best things that we can do when it comes to dealing with stress is breathe. What that does is it puts oxygen-rich blood not only into the body, but it puts it into the brain. That causes the chemical reaction in the brain to just calm down. It's like that good, healthy, oxygen-rich blood just says to the brain, cool your jet, slow it down. Let's think about, what's going on. And the breathing is very important. When we hold the breath, it actually creates a stronger stress reaction in the body and chemically changes the body to the point like, oh my goodness, now what are we going to do? Your body's not sure whether you're going to survive or not. So again, breathing exercises can be very, very important. They're good for removing the toxins. We actually detox a lot of the toxins that are the residual of stress through the breath itself. Breathe in through the nose, breathe out through the mouth. All of those things are very good. If you exhale through the mouth, then what you'll do is you'll actually get it out, get the stress impurities out. Now, one of the things that I found when working with people is that when you breathe through the nose, especially when you're stressed, and breathe out through the mouth, and you do that repeatedly, again, not forcing it, but just repeatedly, till you can calm yourself down, you may find that you'll have a metallic taste or a little bit of bitter taste or maybe kind of a musty taste in your mouth. That literally is stress toxin. So something for you to think about there. There's another thing that we can do that works really well. You can do it anywhere. You can say it to yourself. You can say it out loud. And the mantra is nowhere to go and nothing to do. But what nowhere to go tells the body, slow down. There's nowhere to go. Stop being in this reactive state. Just calm, chill, cool your jets. And then so when we say nowhere to go, calm, peaceful, nothing to do tells the mind, stop repeating these thoughts. Stop ruminating on what is happening that's creating the stress. The deep breaths help the brain and brain and heart, meaning the brain from keep on going and going, that yatter, 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 yatter that goes on, that just keeps that chatter, that keeps that heart racing and keeps those adrenals adrenals continuing to pump the adrenaline and everything. Hello. Take a week's vacation. I need my mouth to work. So what you do is nothing to do tells the mind, slow down, stop being reactive. It creates mental images that support this nowhere to go calming in the physical body itself. And then again, breathe through the nose and exhale through the mouth. Repeat this as long as you need to for your body to slow down. You can see just from my telling you how to do this when I was repeating it, that my voice would actually change. It would become softer. It would become more calm. And then I could actually feel it in my physical body as well. And so that's something that basically works. So if you, do that, breathe, those are two great things. A lot of people think exercise can help them with stress. It can, except if you're in a stress reaction in the body. If you exercise and you exercise beyond, because you're stressed, beyond what your body really needs in order to detoxify, then what will happen is you will create a physical stress as well as this mental and emotional stress. One of the best ways for that, if you find that you're really stressed, just go for a leisurely walk. Again, not a power walk, but a leisurely walk. There's a book that I highly recommend for stress management. Wherever you go, you are there. They're Mindful Meditations for Everyday Life by John Kabat-Zinn. John Kabat-Zinn, some people will say. But what that is, it's a great book, mindful stuff, and will be able to get you calmed down. When you breathe, when you calm down like that, it tells the brain all is well, and then it starts releasing the neuropeptides, the neurotransmitters, become stimulated in a healthy way, and then the endorphins come in, and everything is so much better. Okay, so I'm going to jump in real quick. So, hi, line two.
Hello?
Hi, how are you, sweetie? I've got about 4 minutes. Can we do it?
Are you talking to Deepa?
I'm talking to Deepa.
Great. Thank you, Carol. I'm such a big fan of your work.
Oh.
I have all your books on personality. So let me get to the point quickly. I was diagnosed with a sebaceous cyst on my abdomen, on the right side, about 3 years back, and it was painless and no problems at all. It would fill up with the sebum, and then I would just be able to squeeze it out. But just in the past 15 days or so, it's inflamed, infected, it's become an abscess. And I'm also being told that once it's been drained, I have to have a surgery to take it out. So I'm just wondering if you could give me your insights on that, and also if I'm a green or an orange. Sorry, two different questions.
That's okay. I love it. I love the way you can talk so fast and you're so clear at all this. Okay, so first of all, I do believe that you are an orange that operates as a green, a wonderful combination. But I believe that if you could see this abdomen as the abscess as your worry spot, and every time you get in where you worry and you worry, 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 then what it does is it fills it up. So what you can do is when you worry, I want you to go to your green. Greens are absolutely playful, fun. They can get out of their head. They go and they start to do something. And what they'll do is they basically, I love them, they just distract themselves. So that can work. So from the psychological standpoint, just see this as a toxic dump site. And what you want to do is you want this toxic dump site. When you get into these worrying patterns that you do, then what you want to do is you want to find something that will stop the worrying patterns. So then that will be able to remove the psychological aspects of the abscess itself. The abscess itself actually feels like it fills up primarily because of what's going on in your small intestine. So let's see, what can we do with that? Are you working with a naturopath at all, sweetie?
No, not yet.
Okay. Would you?
Yeah, I'd be open to that. How about an acupuncturist? Would that be okay? Oh, that doesn't have to be a naturopath.
No, an acupuncturist that can work with it would be worthwhile. What I do is I'm finding that in the liver, again, that waste management doesn't work the way it needs to because the food isn't being broken down the way it needs to. So we've got a couple things. We've got the stomach that's too acidic. I've got the liver that's not working optimally to be able to be a waste management removal system the way it's designed to. And I have a small intestine that feels like it gets very full of liquid. I don't know how else to say it than that. It's usually I'll find it that it has, it gets dry, but it gets full of liquid. And see what you can do from a naturopath or an acupuncturist working with some herbs on that. Are you having it drained by the doctor?
Yes, she drained it this morning, and I have to go back on Friday for another drainage, and then the decision will be made whether to operate it.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go into that one. I would recommend, if you are open to it, and I do have to say it that way, but I would recommend that you do have it removed.
Okay.
And okay. what I would recommend, honey, is before you have it removed, I want you to pack up everything that you possibly can think of that is your repetitive pattern around worry. And, you know, if it's, you know, money, pack it in there, the worry around money. If it's about security, pack up the worry around security. I would like you to load that abscess up with as many things that are patterns of worrying. And then I would like you to start a couple weeks before you have surgery, if you go that way. I would like you to do some mindful things to where you can actually come in and start relaxing yourself. Ask if you could wear earphones so you don't hear anything that's going on, that you can stay relaxed. I want you to immediately, if you have it removed, I want you to pack it full of love in that area, self-love, self-worth, self-esteem, and you will be absolutely amazed at how quick that you are going to actually heal.
Okay. Wow.
But, you know, it's just kind of like an Achilles tendon, honey. It's just a toxic site that just needs to be removed.
Okay. Thank you. That feels much better. So you confirmed that I'm a green, didn't you?
Actually, you feel like you're orange to me.
Orange, and yes. I was always debating. Okay.
Yeah, you feel like you're orange, but whenever you get too orange and everything becomes so serious and you can't make sense of things, I want you to put your green hat on, I want you to put Kermit the Frog on, and I want you to just laugh and have a good time. Sorry to have to cut you off, sweetie. It's been great talking to you again. Thank you so much, all of you.
Thank you. I feel really lucky. Thank you, Carol.
Oh, my pleasure. It's been a lot of fun sharing today with you and talking about stress, and I've learned so much about it myself. I'll be looking forward to see you next week on my radio show. This is Medical Intuitive Carol Reitberger. You have a wonderful week. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to The Carol Reitberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.